thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yes, it's the Urban Sports, and we're back. This is episode 199, itching ever so close to episode 200. I'm Wally.
I'm Will.
And again, we are the main leaders of the Urban Sports Scene, the movement.
The leaders of the sports talk, of the fan sports talk internet revolution.
Yes, the free world.
Yes, we are.
So how you doing, citizens of the free world? And our phone lines are open again. Our number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. They're open, ready to go, ready for action. But what's going on, Will? What's going on with your day or whatever, your weekend, per se?
I had a great weekend.
Had a great
fabulous weekend.
I yes. did, too. I had a go ahead, continue.
Over the weekend, I went to the Wizards game.
Oh, who they play?
Detroit.
Oh, yeah. How Greg Monroe look? I had a bad game, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't have a great
game. Oh, yeah, Otto Porter didn't have a good game either.
Yeah, but
No, I'm thinking about the the Pacers Wizards game. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Went to go see the Wizards play. Then Sunday morning went to go tailgate out front of before the Slaughter in Landover. So it was all in all a great weekend, man.
Yeah, my weekend was great. You know, I'm back in coaching again.
Oh, yeah.
Coaching the kids. I coach boys and girls basketball for Green Belt. Kids look good, I must say.
What age are they this year?
They're now 12 and under, so they're all about 11.
Okay.
Kids look good. She's making left-hand layups now.
That's what's up.
Even one of our smallest kids is making a left-hand layup, which I was so proud and so happy. As a coach, you're always happy for progression. So I'm glad my kids came back and came back improved and somewhat taller. I'm all about height. Also, we had a baby shower for, you know, we always tribute our show to our fallen homie, Big Ron Mega, baby shower for his kid, who will be coming into this world pretty soon. So it was a great baby shower. A lot of people came out. Basically, I had a great time with all that going on, and I chilled for most of the time, except for the Redskins game. I was frustrated. Actually, I didn't watch all of the game.
At what point did you turn it off?
I didn't turn it off. So I stayed for the first half. Okay. I volunteered my services to help out a friend who's actually in a band, and she's one of the singers. So I was actually a ticket man. The doorman, security,
jack of all trades.
Exactly. I'm versatile. You know what I mean? I'm like Josh Smith, the smarter. But yeah, so I didn't get a chance to watch the whole game. I was listening to some of the stuff on the radio as I was going to the venue that I was supposed to be at, and yeah, I was a little annoyed of what I heard on the radio, and then when I saw the score, when I got to the venue, the game was on TV. I think they had a TV there, and I saw some of the big plays that happened. Seeing Mike Evans score that bomb.
All right, we'll get into the Slaughter a little bit later.
Annoyed, man. I'm sorry, I was just still annoyed by it. But anyway, you want to get into it?
Yeah, let's get into our tradition of pregame.
All right, Adrian Peterson Adrian Peterson was suspended this morning by Roger Goodell. So he's suspended for the remainder of the season, and also his suspension won't be uplifted till probably if he shows that he's done certain things till April. But he has appealed it.
And the arbitrator has said that Adrian Peterson will continue to get paid. He'll stay on the commissioner's exempt list until his hearing.
Until his hearing. So there's an opportunity. Have they came up with the decision though?
No, they haven't had a decision. Actually, I think
it's supposed to be the next couple of days, though.
Yeah,
right?
They're gonna they actually should have the hearing the next couple of days, and there's a possibility he could play actually on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. So he could play Sunday. But your thoughts of the ruling first?
I think in today's media climate, Roger Goodell thought that he needed to come down hard on him because of the action, you know, drawing blood from a 4-year-old child while whooping him. Then also, one thing you have to take into consideration, Roger Goodell asked that he met with a counselor about the incident, and up to this point he hasn't met with the counselor. And then also, what people may have failed to remember is Adrian Peterson admitted to smoking weed. while he was suspended.
I agree with that.
So I don't think Adrian Peterson will. I think that once the arbitrator hears it, I don't think he'll be suspended until April 15th. But very well could see him suspended until for the end of the season, and then being able to apply for reinstatement after the Super Bowl.
See, my issue with the whole thing is, one, when you look at Roger Goodell's comments about why Adrian Peterson is being suspended for the whole season, he states that one, that using the switches was deemed a weapon, being disciplined, a belt's a weapon. That did nothing for me in terms of trying to justify your fist is a weapon. So that does nothing for me to just. He didn't even. You're right. The weed thing. Him being caught with weed wasn't even used as wasn't even used according to Roger Goodell in the statement that I saw. Wasn't even used.
Right.
You're right. So it's like if that was put into play, that would make more sense to me, because you got caught with weed when you were going through the process. But if I'm going off of what I've seen in terms of what was out there, Roger Goodell put out there in terms of his statement. Oh, okay. In terms of his statement, that annoys the bejesus out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it tells me that, okay, what are you basing everything on? Like, I'm to say that a parent cannot, like, say to a parent how to you to dictate how a parent disciplines his kid, his or her kid, is ridiculous to me.
Yeah, I totally understand, and I agree with you on that. But my only thing is, if Roger Goodell, part of the conditions of him being on the commissioner's exempt list was for him to take the necessary counseling for him to be reinstated, then I can see why he decided to suspend him. That coupled with admitting to smoking marijuana, I can see why he decides to suspend him for the rest of the season. But for Adrian Peterson to not go through the process per se, and you to just hand down a judgment, a disciplinary action like this, is confounding to me. But I understand why Roger Goodell did it. It's just because of the media climate wherein, with NFL players, you had the Ray Rice situation, then you have this, and you had Ray McDonald being acquitted essentially of domestic abuse. So he had to come down hard on someone, and most people would rather come down hard on. He learned this lesson from Ray Rice. I'd rather come down too hard on you than have to backtrack off of it, mm-hmm. for me to come down light on you, and then there are other things that are found out later on.
I see your point. You're right. He has to, because of what happened with the Ray Rice situation. But again, that's his own fault. The Ray Rice situation is his own fault. Just like him hiding the evidence is his own fault, that he didn't see it. You know, and
what
that's
do you mean hiding the evidence.
I mean hiding that he didn't see it. Like just lying that he didn't see the tape.
I mean, did he see the tape?
Oh, come on now.
It still hasn't been determined yet.
Well, let's just be like me and my brother talk about this all the time.
Okay.
Is this simple? You've been to a casino, I've been to a casino.
Yeah.
That is so easy. It's easy to get a tape.
It is.
Because it's not like you're in a cheap motel, even a cheap motel will have video everywhere. But you're in a casino where everything is taped.
True.
So for him to say that he couldn't get his hands on it and then say it was sent to the league's office and he didn't get it is ridiculous on so many levels. So, I mean, in my opinion, you're right, hasn't been factually put out there. In my opinion, he saw the tape.
Okay.
He decided to say, he saw the tape and he felt like, okay, well, it's still 2-game suspension, whatever. It's still 2-game suspension, even with all that being said. All right. You being in charge of the shield of the NFL, like you're in charge of it. For you to now put a punishment on Adrian Peterson this high, and not really take true responsibility for the matter, for the situation that happened. Because he always represents, he always dictates or talks about the shield of the NFL, and right. How to me he's tarnished the shield in his own right to cover, because to the layperson it's a cover up. To the layperson, not saying it's factual, but to the layperson it's a cover up.
I can see your perspective, saying that it may be a cover up, but as we all know, the facts haven't been placed out there yet.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had to put a percentage on it, most likely, I think 75, 80 80% of the people think that Roger Goodell either saw the tape or had access to the tape.
Okay, yeah.
And he just, for whatever reason, because of Ray Rice being a great guy, Ray Rice hadn't gotten in trouble previously, decided to go be lenient on him.
Yeah.
So, you know, take that coupled with, you know, the scrutiny that he received. He was just like Adrian Peterson. Okay, you failed to go through the counseling, then you admitted to smoking weed. Suspended for the rest of the year, but can't apply until April 15th.
But see, the weed smoker thing, I agree with you, but the weed smoker thing, it's not even an issue right now.
It's not an issue. But,
I agree with you, though. I know what you're saying.
But this is what I'm saying. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, you admitted to smoking weed while you were suspended.
Totally agree with that part. That point. He admitted to smoking weed, but I'm looking at Roger Goodell because that's his ruling. But weed wasn't even in the process of his ruling, wasn't even an element of why he ruled what he ruled.
Okay, but I'm telling you, that's probably the ace up Roger Goodell's sleeve.
Yeah, when he goes to arbitration.
That's what he's going to point to. Well, okay, we can't get you on this, but you admitted to smoking weed.
Yeah, that's true. But then the Morris Smith, the head of the NFLPA, he's already on it. You know, it's talking about the inconsistency of the matter. Like, you have to be consistent with your rulings.
Yeah, no, he has to be consistent with a process.
Yeah, the process. That's true.
And
the due process.
Yes, there wasn't due process.
Uh-huh.
So I do understand DeMora Smith when he says that there wasn't due process for Adrian Peterson in this matter. But if he, you know, the NFL requested for him to come and meet with them so he can explain. You know, I guess, did he do certain stipulations that they stipulated for him, certain things that they stipulated for him while he was on the commissioner's exempt list? And if he didn't want to meet with him, that's okay. But also, you have to understand that I'm asking you for this information. You haven't provided this information. So to me, it makes it seem as if you're trying to obstruct this investigation. So you take that, coupled with your actions, coupled with you being noncompliant. That's why I think Roger Goodell came with the suspension for the rest of the season.
So say the arbitrator that he's about to meet in the next couple of days rules that Adrian Peterson is allowed to play. Do you think the Minnesota Vikings will allow him to play on Sunday?
This Sunday? Probably not, just because he's still not in football condition.
That's true.
His body's not in football condition, and also you haven't studied the game plan.
He is a freak of nature,
and he probably has kept himself in great shape. But
he's a running back too.
Yeah, but you also have to look at it like this: if you're Jerick McKinnon and Matt Asiata, what would it look like to you if Adrian Peterson were reinstated on Friday, then you assert him into the starting lineup on Sunday?
Say the names again.
Jerick McKinnon
and
Matt Asiata.
It wouldn't matter. AP. But you mentioned these two running backs. Mention Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
Greg Jennings.
Right.
I can't speak of the other.
Johnson.
Yeah.
Kyle Rudolph.
The explosive wide receiver. Patterson. Mm-hmm. Ask them. And I bet you they'll be like, yeah, we'll have AP back in a second.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I think they would want AP back. I mean, don't get wrong. Those guys, they worked hard. Those running backs have played hard, and they've done well, to be honest with you, with the AP being out. But you ask those guys who really need who are looking for star power, who are looking for that explosive player, because, you know, we've watched Teddy Bridgewater. I like him. I'm a fan of Teddy Bridgewater. But at the same time, Adrian Peterson would make his life a little easy, even if he's 70% of what he can do on the fields.
Okay. Well, let's keep it rolling. Giancarlo Stanton, outfielder for the Miami Marlins, signed a $325 million contract for over 13 years. You know the number one question: is he worth it?
For a young guy, I believe he's worth it. I mean, it's about 25 a year. He's 25 years old. I always feel like you need to give players in baseball. You should give young players this type of contract, not players who are 30. You know, like a Cano or A-Rod, you get them, or Pujols, you get them now when they're like 25 years old, and that way you're gonna get the best of them, and then when you hit 30, you have the option, and you know there's an option in that contract anyway, so that he can opt out. But you're gonna get the best of him within that period of time. That's what you want.
Well, I'm gonna say this: I'll say no. I'm gonna go against the grain and go against you,
mm-hmm.
For the simple fact that we've seen guys sign these monster contracts, mm-hmm. and never, ever have the teams gotten their value back from them. You know, think about A-Rod when he was in Texas.
Well, that's different. Well, A-Rod and Texas they got their money's worth. They just weren't a playoff team. His stats were great,
but this is the thing. You play to win the game.
No, you play to win the game, but you get paid for production.
Yeah, you get paid for
all
production.
Those other guys. Baseball's a different beast. Mm-hmm. All those other guys, they got to produce. Like, you have to produce. You have to put a team. It's not A-Rod's fault.
But this is the thing. Yeah. When you're Miami and you have a history of kind of having a dumpster sale.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, getting rid of everyone.
Totally
once the season tanks, you want to unload these contracts. It just doesn't make sense to me if you're management. If you know the history of your franchise and you know that whenever there's you know that we can't pack this stadium. The stadium is never packed in Miami. B, you know throughout the history of this franchise, whenever you sign guys to historically big contracts, what always happens is you either A, have a hard time offloading those contracts, or B, guys just don't produce, live up to that contract.
Yeah,
I'll take that perspective on it. But if you look at what the guy's done, he's worth the big bucks. I just don't think 13 years, $325 million, a little bit too much.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to Carlos Stanton. I forgot to read off some Facebook messages about Adrian Peterson. My man Jordan Avery said, there's a difference between a spanking and using an object to leave red marks and bruises on a four-year-old's body and around this scrotum area. That's why it's sickening.
Scrotum.
And my man Jeremy said, if this wasn't a star player, folks could care less. It's true. Lost respect for this guy. I already responded to it on Facebook, but y'all already know what I'm saying with this, the whole situation. No one can dictate how to punish your kid. But back to Carlos Stanton. Again, I think he's worth the money. To your point about, you know, building a team, that's the team's fault, to be honest with you. It's not because the players, the player, like A-Rod, like to go to the A-Rod argument, A-Rod produced. He put up 50 home runs, hit over 300, was an MVP candidate. I think he won MVP in Texas that year, too. Up there for batting average in Texas, regardless if steroids were in play or whatnot. But his stats were there. Like, he was hitting 40, 50 home runs in Texas on a regular basis.
True, granted.
And a gold glover, too.
This is the thing. Like I stated previously, if you're Miami, you know you have a problem packing that stadium. You know that John Carlos Stanton, you know, if you give this guy 300, if he does play out this whole contract, you're going to have a problem surrounding him with talent to make that team a contender consistently. So that's the only thing that I would have some trepidation about, you know, because, you know, I know the history of this franchise and I know that you struggle to surround him with the type of talent that'll make you a consistent contender.
Yeah, the Marlins are known for doing it. I don't think they care typically about winning all the way, to be honest with you. I know they see this guy as a marketable player, as a guy within baseball, a guy who could be, for instance, they lost Miguel Cabrera. They had Miguel Cabrera. Everyone knew Miguel Cabrera was going to be the next big thing. He actually had a couple seasons looking like the next big thing. They got him young, and they waited too long for Miguel Cabrera to arrive, and they couldn't afford him. Now they got a guy, they can lock him up early. I mean, they don't have like the local TV deals like other, like the Yankees have or the Dodgers have, but they're willing to put all their ducks in a row for Carlos Stanton. Now, will it pan out? I can't say it, but I know the Marlins have been notorious of winning with a cheap payroll anyway. You know what I mean? And then they dump their payroll to make it whatever. So to me, down the road, I can see Carlos Stanton leaving anyway, to be honest with you. And it's really a great deal for himself, to be real with you, because
Totally a me deal.
Yeah, exactly. So when he gets to, like, you know, gets to that point where he can opt out, he can make even more money if he's, like, thorough.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I'm never saying that, you know, an athlete should take less in order to make the team competitive. No, I'm all about maximizing your dollar.
Yeah, all about that money.
Yep. But let's move on. Jason Hayward.
Oh, real quick. No, I had one question. Before we get Jason Hayward, I'm going to quicken it up, though, because this is actually an interesting one. I got it from somebody else. With all the money in baseball, should African-American parents direct their kids, because of the situation, to play baseball rather than playing football or basketball.
I don't think a parent should direct any kid towards a particular sport. Let that kid identify with a sport that they are passionate about, and then help to help encourage your kid's passion for that sport by, you know, helping them practice, put them in leagues and things of that nature.
All right, so I posed the same question. I'll get to my opinion about it, but I posed the same question on our Facebook page, the Urban Sports Teams Facebook page. My man George said, it's expensive to play baseball as a kid. You need gloves, shoes, and a uniform and a bat. That's a lot of money. Plus, traveling around in tournaments is also something very difficult. The money is great in baseball, but it's difficult for working-class people to get their kids to be able to play baseball at a youth level, especially in the inner city.
So basically what they're saying is because baseball is expensive, African Americans shouldn't stir their kids towards
baseball. No, just saying that just to give you a reason why.
I understand what you're saying, but the person is saying basically it's expensive for African Americans, so you shouldn't stir your kids towards playing it.
That's not what he's saying.
Well, no, he's saying because
he's giving you a reason why it's out there. He's not saying that's the main reason why. Okay. Come on now.
Okay.
This is what I'm going to get back to. Like, I'm going to say for me as a kid, I played baseball. I don't know if bats are, like, when I was a kid, bats didn't seem that expensive to me.
No, I'm going to say this is the main reason why kids don't play baseball. Mm-hmm. It takes 11 people to play baseball. Basketball, you can go to a basketball court.
That's true.
You could practice by yourself. Football, you could do things. You could throw the football to yourself. You could find just one other friend and you both can toss the ball around. Baseball, you're going to need someone to pitch you the ball, and you're going to need someone to catch the ball. So it takes more than just one or two friends. It's going to take you a couple friends. And for you to have a complete game, it's going to take like 11 people. So that's why baseball isn't as popular in the inner city. That coupled with there isn't necessarily a lot of baseball field and open spaces for kids in the inner city to play baseball at. That's why a program like RBI gather volunteers who come in and help clear fields and tutor kids in baseball skills. So I think that's more of a logical reason of why baseball isn't popular.
I had a good one that somebody responded, but let me get to my point of it. I agree with Will. I think it's just gathering people to do it. When I was a kid, I can gather about 12 folks to play baseball. We used to play.
Couple that three. Kids don't come outside anymore.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Kids don't come outside anymore. So even kids playing basketball outside doesn't even happen that much, to be real with you. So for me, like, I used to get, like, a bunch of kids. We played baseball behind my apartment area, and we had a baseball field in our elementary school. And we used to play baseball, kickball, whatever. So we used to play. So it was easier to me as a kid. I don't know how expensive gloves are, but it seemed like it was cheap. My parents gave me a glove, got me a glove, and we didn't make the most money. They didn't make the most money in the world with me growing up. Me and my brother and my little sister. So obviously money had to be dispersed every which way. So as a kid, we had stuff to play baseball. Now, was it high quality stuff? No, but we had equipment. But let's go down to pregame. Jason Hayward was traded. Who did play for the Braves was traded to the St. Louis Cardinals for Jordan Weldon, who was a reliever and a promising prospect. Shelby Miller, who was a starting pitcher. Good trade by the Cardinals. You're getting a young impact player, a guy who does have the potential to hit 30 home runs, who can steal you about 20 bases. He got hurt in Atlanta. He kind of wasn't the same after that, but the potential is still there for him to be a great ball player. And something about playing with the Cardinals, they make you better.
I totally agree with you. I was just going to echo your sentiments. The Cardinals very rarely get duped in a trade, so I'm pretty sure their scouting department knows exactly what they're getting from Jason Hayward, and the coaching staff knows how to fix him to bring him up to a level to maximize his potential.
All right, down to pregame. Also, let's go to college football. The Gators fired Will Muschamp.
Well, they didn't necessarily fire. They said he's going to step down at the end of the season.
You know what that means?
Yeah, AD applied pressure. This could be a if you go off of his record, you know, and the high expectations that they have at Florida, I will say that it may be warranted. Bill Muschamp may have bitten off a little bit more than he could chew. He was supposed to be the coach in waiting at Texas when Mack Brown retired, but he decided to go out and get his, you know, go to the SEC and, you know, become the coach at Florida. I will say this. Florida State goes to Florida the last game of the season, that's definitely a trap game with them, with Florida saying, let's win one for the skipper.
I said the same thing about Miami. Go ahead.
No, I didn't say the same thing
not
about
you.
Miami.
No, I said you. I said they. Not you.
No, I never thought Florida State was going to be Miami. Mm-hmm. But this one definitely reeks of a potential trap game.
It says a potential trap game
because they're going to be out to win one for their coach on his last game of the year.
Yeah.
Watch what I tell you.
No, I'm not arguing with you, my man.
I'm not saying Florida State loses, but this is definitely this is going to be one of those nail biters that may come down to a last second field goal or a last drive.
All right, before I get to that, let me read this one thing off about the African Americans playing baseball. My man Elder said, I just think we should expose our kids to more culture in other sports anyways. Tennis, baseball, golf, and soccer. There is money out there in all sports, but we limit them to just exposing them to football and basketball because they are the sexier of the sports. Any opinion on that?
First of all, I say you should never steer a kid towards any sport for financial reasons. For financial gain in the future.
I think you
observe your kids, you see if they have a liking, if they have a passion for a certain sport. I will say this, while they're younger and you know they're kind of formulating their ideas of what they like, it is important to expose them to different sports and you know involve them in different sports. But you know, for the simple purpose of staring them just for long-term financial gain down the road,
Yeah, I would do that. In a second, that's why I want a tall girl, because I'm 6'2".
Uh-huh.
She would have to be like 5'11", 6 foot. Dang, LeBron James, cuz. All right. And also, yeah, I would steer my kids to play baseball because there's a lot of money into it. You know, if my kid is athletic and I feel like he loves sports. I'm being sexist, I know. He loves sports.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to steer into baseball. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for Wally in his elderly time.
I hear you, but you know
Joe Jackson did for Michael Jackson.
I say while they're young, expose them to put them in situations where they're exposed to different sports, and you know if they develop a passion for it, keep it going. If not, find something else for them.
Back to Florida though, should Florida possibly go after Steve Spurrier? It doesn't look like South Carolina thing doesn't look that great right now.
Well, you remember Steve Spurrier, he was their current AD, he was their target when he came on to Florida. Mm. And he asked for Steve Spurrier's resume. And Steve Spurrier said, my resume is in your trophy case. No, those were exact words.
That's Steve Spurrier for you, I know.
And so I don't think that Steve Spurrier would decide to go back at this point.
Oh, man, if I'm Florida, I'm trying my hardest to get him out of South Carolina, and I'm bringing him back. I think with what he is known for in Florida, the recruiting process, the folks he can bring in, just to say, okay, this is what you can do with my offense with all that speed. I don't know.
But this is the thing. At South Carolina, the expectations are a little bit lower.
That's true.
So
that's
it's
true.
A little bit less aggravation and frustration and heartache for him. At Florida, he has to instantly turn that thing around within 1 year, 2 years tops.
But do you think he can do it, though? I think he can do it.
He could do it, but I just don't think he has that burning desire at this point in his life to do it. South Carolina is a lot slower, a lot more relaxed. He knows if he takes this team to a major bowl or, God forsake, take them into the playoff, into one of the top four teams in the playoff, he'll be forever immortalized in South Carolina. Oh, yeah.
So he built another legacy in South Carolina.
Yep.
You're trying to. Okay, I got you. All right, Gurley, running back for Georgia. High running back from Georgia. A guy who was possibly going to be a top five, top ten pick in the NFL draft. Tore his ACL.
Damn shame, man. He just came off of the suspension. Tore his ACL, so, you know.
They screwed him.
I'm not going to say they screwed him.
They screwed him.
He put himself partly in a position for him to be suspended. What?
What I mean, what did he do?
Well, don't get me wrong. I think the rule is antiquated, and the rule is developed to abuse these college athletes so they can't to maintain a system of free labor.
Yeah.
But you know the rule. You should have played better, covered your footsteps up better, had them deposit the money in the third person offshore account. But you know,
they're not that equipped. They're not that smart. And these kids aren't that
Listen,
smart.
You go to a college. I'm pretty sure there's a kid with a 4.0 in finance, economics, or accounting who can talk you through this thing. Or, you know, I'm sure that the boosters at Georgia, there's a Georgia booster who's in finance or something like that who could have talked them through this thing. You know, or if not, man, feel free to email me at change.da.game6@gmail.com and I could have talked you through it. But it's sad for him to hear that he tore his ACL.
You are a good businessman. Go ahead.
Yeah, and best wishes to you on your road to recovery, and I hope you come back bigger, badder, and stronger, and ready for the NFL draft.
So should he come back? Should he go back to school, or should he just go?
Hell no! Just go to the NFL draft. Hell no! You already tore your ACL.
So I think you go back to school.
No, this is the thing. When they say when you tear your ACL, that there's a likelihood that you could tear it again. So if you're going to re-injure your knee, why not get paid to do it legally in the NFL rather than taking the backhand deal at college football?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe he should come back to school and get his game back up. And so you can answer the questions, all right, is his knee good or whatever?
Hell no.
You know what? Lattimore got screwed. You're right.
Yeah, exactly.
Lattimore got screwed.
Nah.
So now that I think about it, he should go back. He should go in the draft.
He should go in the draft.
But how much time would it be?
I mean, you're looking at...
It's a year. I mean, well, nowadays, 6 months. Nowadays, six months.
So, you know, he'll be ready. He may be ready just before, a little bit after, you know, preseason.
Yeah.
Maybe he might miss 1 or 2 weeks during the NFL season, but at least you'll be in an NFL building with better quality trainers and people that and a staff that can get you up to optimal speed at the quickest, and you'll be getting paid for it.
That's true. Let's go to the college football. The college football playoffs right now. It was announced. Earlier this evening, Alabama is number one. Oregon is two. Florida State is three, and Mississippi State is four. Let's go to Florida State right now. They defeated the U over the weekend, the University of Miami, if you all don't know. Did you watch the game? Thoughts of the game? I watched the game.
I watched a little bit of it.
Okay.
Didn't watch all of it.
It was great. Obviously, Miami jumped on top. They looked motivated. They were ready to go. I mean, Duke Johnson. They had a lot of speed on their team. The freshman quarterback, they really looked good. Then Florida State. Eventually, James Winston, to me, he's a leader. Regardless of what people say, talk about him off the field, on the field, he's a leader.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, he's a leader. And you could just see it, like, little by little, they got momentum. He was hitting his receivers on stride, and they just came back and won the game. I was very impressed with the speed of the young running back they do have in Florida State. The guy, like, looks electric. But to me, I feel like Florida State is hated on.
To
a certain extent.
I'll say this. Sooner or later, that committee and everyone else who's a sports fan is going to figure it out that you shouldn't look at it from the perspective of this team isn't as good as last year's team, A, and then B, they played in so many close games. You should look at it from the perspective of, well, this team won 3 games that they were down by a minimum of 14 points to come back and win. This team is defending national champions, and this team is undefeated. Although they're playing in a weaker ACC, they still are undefeated, having to come back from at least 14 points. So sooner or later, I hope Florida State gets their just due and they're moving into the top two, if not number one. But I think as the football season continues to go on and teams, you know, have more than one loss, then eventually you'll have to put Florida State back up there at number one.
It's just that, to me, everybody had Florida State losing to Miami. It was like they're going to lose to Miami. That's the team they're definitely going to lose to. That's going to be the game they lose to get them out of the playoffs. And they, you know, because because a lot of experts are saying as soon as Florida State loses, they're the team that's going to automatically be out of the playoff picture, even though it'll just be their first loss of the season. So to me, in my opinion, Florida State is the most hated team. Well, not hated, but I feel like they're hated on. In this whole, all the top teams, all the teams that are in play for the playoffs, they're hated to a point where people are waiting for them to lose because they've been in so many tight games, games that we would say that they should blow them out, but they always come out and win the game, even on the last drive or whatnot. So you always hear like Florida State, they don't deserve, if we're looking at the eye test, they're not one of the top four teams in the country. Nor that they're undefeated.
Yeah, I think it's absurd, but I think, you know, we live in a copycat times where most people hear one opinion, they don't really think things through, and then they tend to side with that opinion.
All right, let's go Alabama. Show why that. Well, this is the reason why Alabama moved up to be the number one team in the play, within the top four. They defeated Mississippi State 20-25. Knowing Alabama being the being first in terms of the playoff system, to you, are they the best team in the country?
No. To me, Florida State is still the best team in the country.
Okay.
Because they're undefeated.
And they're defending champions, right?
And they're defending champions.
Totally agree.
So,
so you knock off the dog, you ain't the dog.
Alabama lost to who? Mississippi?
Mississippi.
Yeah.
Was it Mississippi.
Ole Miss, Mississippi. Yeah. So, Mississippi State has to play Ole Miss at the end of the season in the Egg Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Alabama has to play Auburn, and Auburn lost to Georgia recently. But that Auburn-Alabama game is going to be closer than a lot of people think.
Okay, so do you see Mississippi State, even they're still in the top four, which is good, even though they got that loss. Do you see them remaining in the top four?
It's going to be tough. I think if TCU continues to be impressive, even though the Big 12 doesn't have a national championship.
They ain't getting any respect for real.
Yeah, but, you know.
They need a loss by somebody. I know that much. They need a loss.
You know what I'm rooting for? I'm rooting for total havoc.
All the time.
Yeah, I want to see Alabama lose to Auburn. I want to see Mississippi State lose to Mississippi. I want to see Florida State stay undefeated. And I want to see Oregon lose in the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah, I want to see Oregon lose. I don't think Oregon's been playing that many. To me, Oregon hasn't had a tough schedule anywhere.
Yeah.
It just, you know. I mean, they beat Michigan State. And to be honest with you, we saw what Ohio State did to them. Ohio State lost to West Virginia, though we can't go off of what happened with – I mean, was it West Virginia or Virginia Tech?
Virginia Tech.
Sorry, Virginia Tech. We can't go off of that game because that was the first start for what's the name of the quarterback for him, for Ohio State? I can't think of the name.
Not Braxton Miller
is the other kid. Oh, good God, I'm having a moment. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. But you know what I mean. So we can't go off of that. But then again, it still plays upon the resume, just like we look at college basketball, which we're about to go into. College basketball, when you look at the RPI, you look at teams, you know, who have been beaten and teams that have hurt certain teams for their chance to get in the tournament because they lost to other teams and that team doesn't look as strong anymore. So it's the same thing applies here. So
I say you need to bring back the BCS, couple it with
I like the BCS.
Yeah, I like the BCS. You or me personally, I wouldn't be mad if they used the BCS and you took the top four teams out of BCS, but or they used the BCS in conjunction with the committee.
Yeah, I like that. I thought the BCS was fine, to be honest with you. All right, like I said earlier, college basketball, the start of college basketball season has begun. What are your thoughts of the season, period, so far?
My thoughts
early are thoughts.
They started the season too early. That's my thoughts. Too early? College basketball.
They started too early.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that kind of gets sucked up because you have the NBA, you have NFL.
He's playing weak teams anyway in the beginning.
Well, no.
Not instead of tonight. Yeah, tonight got tonight, some real good games.
You got some great games on. You got Duke versus Michigan State. Mm-hmm. And then you have Kansas versus Kentucky.
Yeah.
So you have two great games. And so my idle thoughts are I'm excited to see how the season plays out. I really think that Wisconsin is going to make a very deep run this year. I do. I really think they are.
I never could pick Wisconsin in any of my brackets, ever.
Depending on how the bracket plays out. And also, you know, watch out for Virginia. That's all I'm going to say.
No, Virginia, it looks mean.
Yeah, watch out Virginia for Virginia. Virginia looks mean. Virginia's ranked currently number 9 in the top 25.
I'm not a fan of the other school, but Duke looks mean. Duke look mean, too. I ain't going to lie.
They look mean on paper.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see, because we all know that Coach K, he likes to play more of a perimeter-oriented offense. I want to see how it's going to work out for him this year, having to pound it inside with Jahlil Okafor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think everybody wants to see that. But let's go. Speaking of Duke, I mentioned Duke. Are you surprised that Coach K has three potential one-and-done players on his roster?
Not anymore. I don't. I think ever since he started to coach USA basketball, he's realized that you need top level talent, and he's used to coaching that top tier talent in the summers. So he's like, I see what I can, even though they're professional, I know what I'm able to do as a coach. And if maybe I go out and get a guy, a couple guys that are one and done, but also recruit a couple guys that I know that it might take two or three years to develop and couple them with those one and done, I can get me a couple more championships before my run is over.
Like, so, like, for me, I'm surprised. I'm gonna lie to you, because this is a guy who was out there talking with Bobby. To me, was Bobby Knight?
Bobby Knight, yeah.
Yeah, both of them were talking about how, you know, was pretty much getting on Calipari, in my opinion. Was getting on about his
Oh, yeah.
And, like, now Coach K is kind of seeing the light. Like, I can't beat teams like this with
absolutely low, not.
With they're all talented kids. Don't get me wrong. They're all talented kids, but not with the top talent, like NBA talented players. And you see what Calipari is doing, and now he has three top-of-the-line ballers, and Winslow, Jones, and Okafor. So, and these freshmen are starting. You know what I mean? Which is like, wow.
You know, to me, it's probably one of those things he justifies it in his mind if these kids are great academically. He can justify it in his mind. He's like, if these kids are great academically.
For one year.
No, he knows if these kids are probably, you know, 3.5 students at their high school.
Yeah,
probably
exactly.
Go to high schools that have a rigorous academic
program.
Mm-hmm. And he justifies in his mind, well, these guys are top students. And if they are going to just play for 1 year, why not let them get a great college education at one of the finer universities, Duke University, and I can also profit from it and enhance my legacy.
All right, let's go to the game. Duke's playing Michigan State. Your thoughts of this game? Can Michigan State upset the Duke Blue Devils?
I think it's too early in the season for Tom Izzo teams for them to come on strong.
Me too. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
That ain't sound right.
Towards the middle of February into the conference tournaments, that's when Tom Izzo teams really start turning it on. So most likely they'll lose to Duke. They'll lose to Duke tonight, but, you know, stay tuned.
Yeah, I agree with you. Tom Izzo was one of the best coaches in college basketball, period, and probably one of the best coaches, period, of all time. I feel Duke's going to dominate this game. Their freshmen are just too big, and their freshmen are just too good to me, in my opinion. And also, Michigan State, like Will said, I don't see them being seasoned enough. But when they get to the middle of the season, towards the end, that team will ball. I'm confident about that. Kansas, Kentucky.
Well, Calipari stated that basically he's going to split, you know, he's going to have a one squad and a two squad, because he basically has nine McDonald's All-Americans, and he's going to split them up into two squads. He's going to substitute five at a time to keep his teams fresh and throw a fresh five at you.
His team's that deep?
Yeah.
This dude can recruit one and done players like no other.
The best car salesman there is out there.
Man, he's like the dude off Blue Chips.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you know, a lot of people have a problem with him recruiting these one and done players. I don't.
I don't. He just wants to win.
He just wants to win, and he wants to give them the best opportunity to improve their skills and put them in a situation. And you think about it, you're getting some of the best competition probably in practice if they're like nine McDonald's All-Americans on your team.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Kentucky will probably win this game. Kansas struggled early in the season, even though it's early and it's Kansas. I'm not the biggest Kansas fan, so I can definitely see Kentucky going 1-0. Or we're not 3-0. I think they played two games already. So, anyways, it's time for a commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking about my Washington Redskins, RG3. Is he really the dude for the Washington Redskins for the future? Is he our franchise quarterback? I don't think so anymore. It's the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
Well, you've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, What's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why.
You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
So, I typed a text to a girl I used to see, saying that I chose this cutie pie with whom I want to be. And I apologize if this message gets you down. Then I CC'd every girl that I'd CC round town. And hate to see y'all frown, but I'd rather see her smiling. Witness all around me, true. But I'm no island, peninsula maybe. Makes no sense, I know crazy. Give up all this that's in my lap, no looking back. Spaceships don't come equipped with rear view mirrors. They dip as quick as they can. The atmosphere is now ripped. I'm so like a pimp. I'm glad it's night. So
all right, back from commercial break. RG3, I did choose you. Not anymore. No, I don't choose you anymore. Redskin fans, y'all don't need to choose to do no more, man. He ain't about our life.
He ain't so you to... finally saw the light.
Yeah, man. I saw the light.
You finally started to listen to what I've been preaching.
I mean, like, his name is Bob. You know what I mean? Like, I'm seeing the other light. I'm calling him Bob.
You calling him Bob?
I'm calling him Bob now. I'm not even calling him RG3 anymore.
Oh, man.
Like, it's that bad. It's like, you know, like my brother came in.
You're not going to even call him Robert Griffin?
No, he's Bob. Bob. You know what I mean? Like, me and my brother had this discussion before we did this show. And he was like, yeah, Wally, you know, we gave up 2 draft picks for him. You know what? Forget the draft picks, all right?
This
he
is
gave
how up 3 draft
3
picks,
draft picks, you know what I mean, but 2 first round picks.
Yeah.
So I was like, forget all that talk. We can't get that back. It's like spending time with your girl for like 2 years and then like you decide to break up. You can't get them 2 years back. It was a waste of your, you can't get those 2 years. That was a waste of your time. You can't get them back. All right? Forget about it. All right? I want this dude I kind of at the moment, I'm not going to lie to you. If he's gone, I don't care.
Well, let me tell you just how fickle you Washington fans are.
I ain't fickle.
2 years ago, he was Black Jesus.
You're right. He was Black Jesus.
He was Black Jesus.
You're damn right.
And I'm going to tell you why he was to you all, because you've been so long without a franchise quarterback.
That's so true. And he was young.
And he was young.
Yeah, it wasn't like a.
And then, no, it was. To me, he's more of a politician than anything. Because he's a charismatic speaker. He's articulate. And he does. He did one thing for the constituents, which were the fans, the voters, to prove himself to be like, okay, I'm capable of doing this job. Where to me, I've always said it's going to be a test of time. Show me that consistency. I've always said the greatness is consistency, stepping up to the plate and being consistent over a long period of time.
And
for people to anoint him after just 1 year, to me, was ludicrous. And also, you couple that with, and this is something I've always stated, whether you like them or not, the Shanahans developed a system that played to his strengths and minimized his weaknesses. What they did was they did a lot of
read option
and play action. And when you do that, it allowed him to just isolate a quarter of the field and make one read. And if that read wasn't there, he pulled the ball down and he ran.
And our phone lines are open. If you want to chime in, the number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. Yeah, I agree. It's funny because now I'm forced to actually evaluate my opinion of Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan, the Shanahans.
Thank you.
Because, you know.
Now you're admitting it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No, I mean, you have to be. I'm not going to like be ignorant to the whole thing. The issue is still here. And he's still an issue in terms of the locker room, his statements on post during the post game. And again, the Reds. If you don't know, the Redskins lost to Tampa Bay 27-7. I'm sure you know that, and you already heard that RG3 played like some garbage in the post game. And
not
this,
only
that, and the
did
other.
He say he played like garbage, he said the offensive line,
no, the running backs, the wide receivers, the defense, the special teams. All right,
he was critical of everyone,
everybody, because he was trying. Well, I knew what he was trying to say and what he was trying to do, but dude, just shut up. Like, you're doing too much. One, don't say there's no Pro Bowl. There's not a Pro Bowler on the team. Trent Williams is always going to be a Pro Bowler. All right. DeShaun Jackson is playing at a Pro Bowl level.
Yes, he leads the league.
Yeah, DeShaun Jackson is a Pro Bowler.
Average per catch.
All right. Ryan Kerrigan could be a Pro Bowler, even though the defense sucks because of his stats alone. Mm-hmm. There are Pro Bowl quality caliber players who have been busting their ass every game. All right. You just played how many games so far this season? You got hurt his second game. Basically, this is his two and a half starts.
Yeah,
dude, you don't have the clout to judge every player on there right now. All right, especially after the garbage game you played against Tampa, a team that sucks, a team that was 1-7, 1-8 at the time, a horrible team, a team in Atlanta put like 50 on, and you could only score 7 points when your wide receivers are Pierre Garçon, DeShaun Jackson, Jordan Reed, your tight end, and Alfred Morris, who's running like a man-child in that game at running back, and you can only score 7 points against a porous Tampa Bay team? Get the F out of here.
Keep going. Just let it out. I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying all of this.
I can't with this dude, man. This dude is like, he's something else, man.
Well, I'll say this. I understand his sentiment of what he was trying to do. He was trying to say, you know, the whole team played poorly.
It's a team thing.
When we win, we win. We look good. We win as a team. When we lose as a team. So from that standpoint, I get it. Me personally, I truly appreciate candor. I truly appreciate it. If someone says I'm not doing my job, tell me I'm not doing my job. But what he faulted is he went to the media first.
Yeah.
That's a conversation you have with guys behind closed doors in the locker room. And you don't say you're suck. You say, I need you. I need you to step up. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. You don't say, well, they played, this specific group played poor. You didn't break down the tape. You're not a talent evaluator. You're not a head coach. There are things that he did incorrectly. He held on to the ball for too long. He missed wide open receivers. He overthrew DeShaun Jackson with two bombs. It was either he made his first read and then it was check down. He didn't make his progressions. This is just me being half drunk looking at the game and noticing these things.
Go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
Well, it wasn't that, to me, it wasn't that he wasn't going through his progressions. It's just that he couldn't see. Like, he was going through what he thought was his progressions, but people were open. Like, his first read was open. That's the sad thing. His first read was open. And he still didn't see him. Like, his first read, like, you could see one of the plays where the play to Niles Paul, like, the first interception, which was Niles Paul's fault because he just dropped it up in the air. But Jordan Reed, supposed to be a quick throw to Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed was open. He pump fake. He didn't let it rock. He decided to scramble, I believe, left and throw to Niles Paul. Jordan Reed was open. Like, get your life in order as a quarterback. Like, seriously, dude. Like, see the field. Are you blind? Like, I'm watching the game, like, I saw the play. Like, Jordan Reed's open. Throw it to Jordan Reed. He throws it to Niles Paul. And it happens every time. Like, he's holding the ball too long. Like, all right, Russell Wilson can't see the field. I'm going to be real with you. Like, Russell Wilson can't see the field, like, well, he can't. But we know what Russell Wilson does. If he doesn't see the field on his first read, it's like one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. No one, I don't see my read. What am I going to do? I am going to run. This dude thinks he's this dude wants to be a pocket passer so bad that he will stay in the pocket, though he can't see anything, and just take a sack.
Well, Steve Young, they had him. He was on an interview earlier. I think it was today or yesterday.
It was I know the article story came out today.
He said that he talked to former coaches and they said that RG3 doesn't put in the time. I.e. he talked to Mike Shanahan.
Of course. And some
Kyle
other
Shanahan.
Folks. And some other folks.
He talked to people.
And some current people. People on his current staff, too, he talked to.
And they said that he doesn't put in the time.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Young also said that being in the law school and playing quarterback in the NFL, is more mentally, you have to put in more mental preparation than studying law, going to law school. I can't say I know that for certain. If Steve Young says it, then I'll take his opinion as such. But to me, it always seems this has always been a guy, and I'm not going to take away from his work ethic or anything like that. But when you always say you're doing something, odds are you're most likely not doing something.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I'm not going to say he's a fraud or, you know, try to defecate on his character or anything. I think he's one of those people that who talks a good game. Whereas I think in this league, in this profession, it's not about talking a good game. It's about going out there and doing. Show people what you're doing. Show people that you're progressing as a pocket passer. Show people you're progressing as the leader of this franchise. Show people you are progressing in the locker room and being that leader and being the guy that your teammates can trust. I think he still has a long way to go from the standpoint of communicating with people, being a leader, and also developing his skills as a pocket quarterback in the NFL and progressing in a true pro style offense that Jay Gruden wants to run.
But let me go back to this one real quick. Because, you know, calling out your teammates. Like, call out your teammates, but be factual with it. If you're going to call out your teammates, call them out and be factual. Don't say the offensive line needs to be, you know, the offensive line played bad. They didn't. You played bad. You took the sacks. Don't come out and say, well, the wide receivers need to work and get open. DeSean Jackson got wide open twice on two bombs, maybe three, and a slant. So he got open. Jordan Reed was open consistently. Don't say like the defense played poorly. The defense played poorly, but you put them in bad positions too at the same time. The special teams, you're right, the special teams did play poorly. But if you're going to call people out, call out the right people. Just don't call out people that were really doing their job. Alfred Morris played like a madman. If I'm Alfred Morris, to be honest with you, I'm at RG3's locker and I'm like, dude, did you see how many tackles I broke? Did you see what I was doing? Did you see me reverse the field for that long run and stiff arm a dude to the ground? Oh, I did my thing. I did my job. Don't call me out. Don't include me in your madness. That's what I'm saying. If you're going to call people out, even in the media, if you're going to call people out, call them out factually. Don't just call them out to hide yourself because you played bad. All right? You want to say we? When you're the quarterback, you see this all the time on any team with a – because he wants to put himself in the Manning, Brady, Rodgers. Again, don't even use them as a comparison of what you do. For you to say that if players on those teams with those quarterbacks play poor, they're going to play poor. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, they take those players and don't make those players better. Peyton Manning made Denarius Thomas better. Brady made what's the name of that dude? Edelman made Edelman better. These guys make their players better. They make their teams better. If they weren't on that team, those players wouldn't do nothing. Demaryius Thomas now would do something, but before then he wouldn't. So those guys make their players better. But even when they're doing their presser, when those guys are doing pressers and they do play poor, they never say, oh, we play bad. No, they'll tell you like this, I play bad. I can do better. And that's it. That's the difference between those quarterbacks and RG3. Excuse me, Bob.
And also, those quarterbacks wouldn't come to this press conference with a silly-looking hat on their head afterwards.
Well, have you seen Tom Brady in some press conferences?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He'll rock Uggs.
Yeah.
So I don't know about that.
But he just looks silly with the hat on, man.
Because he's RG3 right now, man. He's Bob. Excuse me, because he's Bob. Anyway, let me go to the main thing. Do you think RG3 is DC? And do you think the days of RG3 as the Washington Redskins quarterback coming to an end? Or is it about over?
No. Not if Daniel Snyder has his way, because Daniel Snyder hasn't had a franchise, any resemblance of a franchise quarterback. And also, they gave up three draft picks, two number ones and a number two for him. Excuse me, two number ones, swapped a number one with St. Louis and gave up a number two. So, no, I don't think his days are coming to an end just yet. As Jay Gruden has said, you know, he's still evaluating. To me personally, I don't see what you're evaluating. You've seen him in practice. You've seen consistent game tape on him over a certain duration. So I don't know what you're still evaluating. To me personally, you know what you have. You know who he is. Now there's an opportunity that maybe the light flicks off and, you know, he changes. But people generally are, once they reach a certain age, you are who you are. It's just that you may change in various situations, but, you know, I don't think it's the end of his time just yet. I think he'll play out this season, then next season, and go from there.
Well, before I get to my point, I'm gonna read off some tweets on our Urban Sports Scene Twitter site, or tweet, whatever you want to call it. Here you go. My man at JPCox21 says, no, everyone is hard on him. He said, the stuff takes time, no different than Cam Newton. What about his struggles? You want to talk about Cam Newton real quick before I go into
But this is the thing. Look at Cam Newton. When Cam Newton struggles, his body language is poor. Even if you look at Cam Newton's play this year, he's regressed. He doesn't step into throws. When things are down, his body language is down. He doesn't seem like when things are going bad, he wants to invigorate his team and pick them up and be like, let's go. I'm going to put this team on my back, and I'm going to take us to another level. So I don't think Cam Newton isn't the best. Now, granted, Cam Newton had some very good seasons, especially his rookie season, but I don't think he's the best example to use.
Yeah, my man at Red Skinner said, nah, he got to play a lot better, though. It seems like you're an RG3 fan, not a Washington Redskins fan. I'm sorry. Because RG3, I don't know. It's been 3 years, my man. So all I'm going to say, it's been 3 years.
Well, it has.
Well, two and that, you know what I mean. Well, yes. You know what I mean.
I mean, but, you know, even still, he has to get back to the point where physically he's healthy enough to have that burst.
See, the thing, all right, like, I was listening to Chris Russell, one of the B-writers for the Washington Redskins, and he said in practice, like, that speed stuff is no excuse. Like, he is fast, just as fast as he was his rookie year. According to these individuals, they're saying that he's just not willing, like, because you don't see his speed during a read option. That's what you're referring to, right?
Mm-hmm.
They say he's not willing. He doesn't want to do it. So he's not into it. So therefore, you don't see it.
Well, this is the thing. And Jay Gruden, and this is my thing.
Yeah.
Jay Gruden came out during the press conference while Robert Griffin III was still injured and said, until Robert is able to do all the things we require and need for him to do, he's not going to touch the field.
Exactly.
And then you also had another report coming out that maybe the decision was made over Jay Gruden's head.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe there was input given
above
Jay Gruden's pay grade. But just to me, he has to realize that you are not a typical drop back passer at this point in your career. Can you progress to become that? Yes. But in the interim, you have to do what's best to help your team out, which is use your speed.
This is what I'm gonna tell you. This is what it is. And this is the thing I think that kind of hindered Donovan McNabb from being the quarterback he could have been. And it's not Donovan was a great quarterback. But use what God gave you. All right? They gave you legs. You can run. Stop trying to be Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. All right? You can still win a boatload of games, be a great quarterback with being a mobile quarterback. They just need you to be accurate. It's a difference. Accurate.
I.e., look at Russell Wilson.
Yeah, Russell Wilson. He doesn't care. This, like, truth be told, this whole pocket quarterback does not affect him. He does not care.
All you have to do, if you want to see the greatest example of the type of quarterback he is and why he's successful, look at that overtime drive against Denver.
Yeah.
He killed Denver with his legs and his arm outside of the pocket, mm-hmm. and made a couple of passes in the pocket. Mm-hmm. And what happened? They drove down and they won the game.
That's all you need to do. It's not about trying to emulate the sexy player. Like Aaron Rodgers, okay, Aaron Rodgers is great. Peyton Manning is great. Brady is great. But if they had your legs, do you think they wouldn't take advantage of the situation?
And even go back to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has stated that when he came into the NFL, he wasn't the prototypical passing quarterback.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
He stated that he had to come in and learn the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did in the interim was he would move around and use his legs and make plays. And then during practice in the offseason, he would practice his being a quarterback from the pocket. Mm-hmm. So Robert Griffin III, you got to get over, you know, whatever.
The stigma that you think is bothering you about being a pocket quarterback. Because obviously we do know where it comes from, because Donovan Abbey's mentioned it as well, but I'm not going to get into all that. But he needs to stop it. Like, just win football games, play to win football games, and stop playing to be a pocket quarterback. It's different. It really is. Anyway, at Dave Casey MCB said, no, it's not time for RG3 to leave DC. My man at I guess James underscore eight says, I think he should be the start. He can start in the NFL, but he needs a fresh start in a year or two on the bench. Wow. To bench him? I don't think that's ever going to happen, and not in this town. At the World of Ryan said, I hope so. Love the Redskins, but never been a fan of him. Thought this way since he was drafted. Really, though?
Well, since he was drafted? No, I've always said that. And you know this is the truth. I've always said there's something about him that I can't put my finger on.
Okay.
I've always said that.
Yeah.
Whether it's his a certain level of arrogance.
Yeah, arrogance thing.
Or whether it's him trying to prove to everybody that he's something.
I'll read off a couple more before we go to the next topic. At Rigos Rag says, RG3 isn't done in D.C. He's down, but not out. He can begin turning his perception around with a good game against the Niners. I wish that could happen. Don't think it's going to, my man. Dante Alvarado said, I honestly hope not, but we brought in a coach who passed on cap, so who knows? Who passed on cap?
He passed on Kaepernick.
Okay, yeah,
he had the opportunity. Marvin Lewis. Wanted Colin Kaepernick, but he said no. Andy Dalton is the type of quarterback that I need for my offense.
Okay, so all right, let me read off like two more, and then we'll be done. My man Brandon, his Twitter handle was at bcoxdp, said he still got it. Just needs an O line with five Trent to block for him. Look at Russell Wilson's O line; it's huge. And also my man, at Gallo Swing said, what do you say? I'm sorry. At Gallo Swing said, true, but I see ownership as the biggest issue of the team, not, RG3. Ownership. Everybody always blames.
Daniel Snyder has nothing to do with this. Stop placing the blame on Daniel. This is the thing that kills me. True, Daniel Snyder may have had his hands too much in the cookie jar. When he initially became the owner. But to that, my rebuttal would be he's the owner. Mm-hmm. He owns the team. He could do whatever the hell he wants.
That's true.
I don't know that anyone out here who owns something that isn't going to be hands-on, especially if you've been hands-on and making so much money.
Yeah, that's true. I totally agree. So I'm done with it. Thanks to folks who was tweeting the show. Appreciate it. Again, all comments are appreciated, and our phone lines are open. The number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. Let's go to Jay Gruden real quick. Jay Gruden, your thoughts of him as a coach so far? Obviously, the Redskins are 3-7, but is that an indication of his coaching style and what he's done with his team?
You're what your record is. So he's a 3-7 coach. He's the leader of a 3-7 team. But what I will say is he's a guy who seems to me is going to shoot it to you straight. There's nothing he's not going to say behind your back he won't say in your face. And also, Jay Gruden's he's trying to put his identity on this team, even though they're doing a lot of things offensively that the Shanahans did. He wants a pro style quarterback. And Robert Griffin III thinks he can be that, but obviously we know just from, even though we have a small sample size from this season, it's looking more and more likely that he isn't that. I think that Jay Gruden's a pretty good coach.
I like Jay Gruden. I think Jay Gruden is an excellent coach. This record doesn't, to me, show what kind of job he's done. His wide receiver, in terms of his offensive play calling. These players are open. The players are open for in the passing game. The only problem I have with Jay Gruden is sometimes he can get pass happy and he can neglect Alfred Morris. But other than that, in terms of the natural designs of his plays, I've been a fan of. He needs a quarterback to execute the plays. You had Kirk Cousins who threw like 80 interceptions. You have RG3 who can't find an open wide receiver to save his life. even though the wide receivers are open, and Colt McCoy, who honestly may be the better of the three. And, you know, just because he's a third-string quarterback on this team won't get the opportunity to show what he can do. And I'm not saying Colt McCoy is the answer here in D.C., though. I'm saying within the three quarterbacks at the moment, he seems like the more qualified quarterback.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
You know, so I'm a fan of – so anyway, what are his strengths to you?
His strengths to me –
as a coach.
Communication.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree.
Organization. He's a guy who knows the X and O's of football. He knows offensive football. Coaching the quarterback position, knowing exactly what the quarterback needs to be able to do in his system for that offense to really stay on schedule and to click.
So what does he need to improve on?
Hiring of coaching personnel. He needs to get rid of Jay Gruden. Jim Haslett. He needs to stop being so buddy buddy and get rid of Jim Haslett.
Yeah, Jim Haslett, that's your weakness right there. I won't lie to you. Jim Haslett's
pretty much
your weakness.
Jim Haslett's got to go. And he doesn't commit to the run.
Yeah, like I mentioned. Yeah. So I totally agree. Yeah, but he does. That's his main weakness. He has to cut ties with Jim Haslett early. And if Bruce Allen comes to you and say, "Well, I like Haslett," no, say I want him gone now. Like now. All right, let's go to the Niners game real quick before I go to the Niners game. So, if you're Daniel Snyder, I mentioned this question to you before during break. If you're Daniel Snyder, there's a choice between RG3 and Jay Gruden. Who do you choose?
If I'm Daniel Snyder.
If you're Daniel Snyder.
Considering I've had been owning the team since, 1997, 98?
Yeah, around that time frame.
I've had some pretty good coaches come in. Joe Gibbs, Marty Schottenheimer, Jay Gruden. So, obviously, I can find another coach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'll be able – the opportunity exists for me to get a quote-unquote franchise quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Robert Griffin hasn't played up to the level of expectations and what we've seen him do in the past,
mm-hmm.
I'll probably reluctantly go with – staying with Robert Griffin III over Jay.
Oh, you're
Gruden.
Such a nice guy. I'm gonna go against you. And I'm going to choose Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden to me has shown me that I see a coach that could be one of the better coaches down the road, and he's really young. And when I look at RG3, I see a guy who's not willing to put the work to be a great quarterback. When I look at Jay Gruden, I see a guy who's ready to put the work in to be a high quality coach. When I look at RG3, I don't see a guy, because in 3 years, regardless of 3 years of being, he's been hurt, this, that, and the other, still, there's the mental side you can study, and you can get the mental side of playing a quarterback position. You can get that part. You can see progression. Even Kaepernick, to me, to a certain extent, has, on a mental side, you can see improvement. It may not show in terms of X's and O's, but I see some kind of improvement. With RG3, I don't see any improvement at all. So I'm going to choose Jay Gruden, and just because of that premise alone.
Okay.
Let's go to the Niners game. What does RG3 have to do to in this game with the Niners? What do you have to show you? What do you want to see from him? Excuse me.
I want to see him have the balls to step up and say Colt McCoy should be the quarterback.
Oh, man. I thought you had some real vicious message. He says, I want to have the ball say Colt McCoy is the starting quarterback for the Washington Redskins.
Nah, he needs to get rid of the ball on schedule. So, you know, if it's a three-step drop, when you're on that third step, when your back leg hits, you need to be able to get the ball out. He needs to make more than one read. If his first read isn't there, make progressions. He needs to learn how to throw the ball away if it isn't there, so he can save his team from getting a sack. I believe this team went from first and goal on the 6.
Oh my God!
To like what?
Don't remind me.
Fourth and goal from what, the 40, the 45, the 40?
Just atrocious.
It's atrocious. So he needs to keep this offense on schedule. He needs to use his legs, stop being reluctant to doing that. And he just needs to build the camaraderie between his teammates and let them know that I'm the leader, I'm accountable for me, but I'm also going to hold everybody else accountable. But we're not going to get this done unless we all come together as a team and put all the petty BS behind us.
What I need from him is to just, and it's this simple. It won't even be that complicated. Man, try to win. Play winning football, man. Do it. Try to win by any means necessary. All right? Stop worrying about being a pocket passer. Oh, this, that, and the other. You see a guy open, throw the ball. All right? If he's not open to you, run the ball. All right? You know, just stop trying to be somebody that you're not at the moment. Be who you are. How many games did he win his rookie year? Basically, the team went 10-6 with him as playing that style, right? He, even though he got hurt, he had heart. Tampa, in that Tampa game, he made that long run. Dude, play football to win. Don't play to show people that you, or to try to show yourself that you're a pocket passer. You're not there yet. It's not cool to practice in an NFL game. I ain't gonna lie to you. It's just not cool. By watching it on TV, you can get killed that way to practice in an NFL game. These dudes are trying to take your head off. I'm just being real. All right? Practice in the game, try to win games. If you don't see it, run. Run, ninja, run.
Just run and slide.
Yeah, run and slide. That's all you got to do. Anyway, so how important is this game for his career in D.C.? Well, does a bad game impact him in a way to say, okay, well, this dude ain't the dude? Obviously, it was a great game.
Obviously, everyone has their doubts about him. I don't think one game is going to change the perception of him. But another bad game does dig him deeper in the hole where people really further question, you know, just what is it? Is it he's not putting in the preparation all outside of the building? Is he reluctant to not do the things to make this team a winner? So I'm not going to say it's on a scale of 1 to 10. I think it's about a 4 because I don't think there's any fan or any prognosticator who thinks Washington has a chance in this game.
No, they don't. In my opinion, they don't have a chance. But I will say this, though. If he goes out and just, quote-unquote, the switch just flicks back and flicks on, and he's dynamic again, he understands about, you know, he understands how to play winning football again, then I can come back next show, which will probably be in a couple weeks. We're not doing a show on Thanksgiving week. But I can come back to the show for episode 200 and say, I was wrong, RG3, and I would apologize to you for all the how I turned on you. I don't see it happening.
Okay.
I don't see it happening. And then San Fran is San Fran. Alden Smith is back. So I don't see it happening. But anyway, should the Redskins play more young guys? Because pretty much season's over. Should the Redskins play more young guys to assess talent?
Absolutely. You don't know what they can do until they're on the field. So Morgan Moses, Phillip Thomas, Josh Laribas, all those guys, you got to get them on the field. You got to see what they can do. I know you as an NFL coach, you want to win now, but you also got to build towards the future. And reality is, your season is over. There's no way you're going to make the playoffs. So you just need to get that young talent in, coach them up, and see who can do what and who's who and who's what's what.
Play Phillip Thomas. That's all I care about. Because that dude that works for ESPN, that plays for the Washington Redskins, is garbage.
Yeah, you can't even say he plays for Washington anymore. You just call him Ryan Clark of ESPN.
Yeah, Ryan Clark of ESPN. That's his name.
He's Ryan Clark of ESPN,
okay? Please sit him. Hazlitt or Jay Gruden, sit him. Anyway, it's time for commercial break. When we get back, we'll talk about the notables of Week 11 in the NFL. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I'm Peyton Manning. On the football field, I always have to prepare for the unexpected. My teammates and I train to think fast and be ready ahead of the game. You can be ready with the help of your local American Red Cross. The American Red Cross can help all of us prepare for life's emergencies. Take life-saving CPR or first aid courses. Make an emergency plan or learn how to build a disaster supplies kit. Contact the American Red Cross today.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Let me see you bounce right and left and let your shoulder hang. Let your shoulder hang. Just let your shoulder hang. Get it right. Step and let your shoulder hang. Let your shoulder hang. Just let your shoulder hang. Let me see you bounce right and left and let your shoulder hang. Let your shoulder hang. Let your shoulder hang. Right.
Two-step and let your shoulder lane, the shoulder lane. All right, it's Young Dro. Anyway, you can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.podbeam.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Grid Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Steeler Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Steeler Fan. Again, our phone lines are open. The number is 202-495-0904. That's 202-495-0904. I said before the break, we'll be talking about Week 11 notables. Let's start with our first game, Patriots versus the Colts. The Patriots won 42-20. Are the Patriots the best team in the NFL?
I have to say yes right now, just because of their body of work. You know, they went through Denver. They've gone through the Colts. They've beaten who else? Whatever top-notch team have they beaten?
They've beaten the Colts, Denver. Shoot. Another team they beat. Was this the Colts in Denver? I swear, I'm feeling like I'm missing out on a team.
Yeah.
They blew out. They had a couple of big ones.
They lost to Kansas City.
They lost to Kansas City.
They look beat
the West. Look at the.
No, they beat the Broncos. I mean, not the Broncos, but the Bengals.
The Bengals. That's what it is. The Bengals. That's it. That was it. Just the Bengals. That was those three.
Yeah.
They still got the Chargers on their schedule, right? They haven't played the Chargers.
I think they still have Green Bay. They still have Detroit.
Mm hmm. Yeah, so, they got Detroit next, I believe.
Yeah, they got Detroit next, and they still have Green Bay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just think right now they're playing the best. They're at the optimal level. Maybe they can sustain it. I just like what I see from the Patriots. They're beating teams a different way. Yeah. One week is Jonas Gray. Another week is Tom Brady. Julian Edelman, Brandon LaFell, Gronk. So this team has a lot of weapons, and we all know Belichick is the master of exposing your weakness.
It's amazing that this team, like, they were in trouble like a couple weeks ago. I mean, like, well, yeah, like a month ago. Not like a week ago, like a month ago. Now this team looks like a dominant team. It looks like a Super Bowl contending team. Tom Brady looks good. Everyone thought that line wouldn't hold up. That line looks better. The running game is improved. Yeah, Belichick and Brady, that combo was something special. So this team right now looks to me like the best team in the NFL, just because, especially going into Indy and dominating that game. That showed me a lot, because teams get strong at home, but going on the road and dominating a game, that was more impressive.
Going on the road in prime time.
In prime time and dominating is something else. And that defense looks better. Revis looks good. Like, Revis looks like he looked with the Jets. So that defense is improving every week, and it looks like it can be a formidable team. And to be honest with you, for any team in the NFL, any strong team, and to be honest with you, if you really want to break it down, this team looks like a bad matchup for Denver, just because the cornerback play is physical. You got Revis and Browner, and if you match it up even in stand in, I guess you look at the Packers, saw what Seattle did to the Packers. And if you want to see, and if you want to use a blueprint, see the Patriots can do the same thing to their wide receivers. So it's a different beast.
I'm gonna tell you what the key is for Denver, if Denver is to beat the Patriots. It's Ronnie Hillman. Using Ronnie Hillman in a short and intermediate passing game. They have no linebacker that can match up with Ronnie Hillman in space.
Yeah, because all their linebackers are just big. They're not really fast.
No, none of their linebackers will be able to cover Ronnie Hillman in space and open space if you get them the ball.
All right, so do you see them as the odds-on favorites to go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl?
I still have Denver.
So Denver?
I still a firm believer in Denver.
Denver has to have home field advantage to beat the Patriots, in my opinion. If they don't have home field advantage, they will not beat the Patriots.
True. I totally agree with you. I can actually see the Patriots losing against Detroit.
Yeah, I can see them losing to Detroit just because of the physical play of that D-line.
Yep.
They'll come after them. The only team that I think that can beat the Patriots in a playoff game, and they may not even make the playoffs, is probably the Ravens. Are the only, for some strange reason, they just match up.
Don't forget against Kansas City.
Oh, Kansas City, too. Kansas City's a strong team. Yeah, Kansas City, too. Definitely Kansas City. I think Kansas City is a dark horse.
Yes, they are. They're slowly creeping up. They're 7-3. They play the Raiders on Thursday, which is
laughable.
Yep.
These primetime games are hilarious. Seriously. Yeah. Seriously hilarious. Anyway, are the Colts, let's go to the Colts, are the Colts contenders or pretenders?
I still think they're contenders. I think they're contenders, but they have a few additions they need to make in order to solidify their position.
To a running game?
running game, offensive line, mm-hmm. and they need a pass rusher. I think your back four is pretty, you know, with mm-hmm. Vontae David and Toler, you have two pretty solid corners. Mm-hmm. Also with Landry back. Did you see him Sunday?
LaRon, did he start? Is he starting again? I thought he was on the bench.
He was on the bench, but they did a close-up of him. Mm-hmm. That dude truly looks like the Hulk. I don't know what the hell he's using.
That dude a beast, man. He's on – you don't know what he's using. Yeah. He's on steroids. That's what he's using.
I'm not gonna go on these airways and accuse him of using steroids.
I love LaRon, man. I love LaRon. He's one of my favorite Redskins of all time, to be honest with you. I do. I think he's – I was a fan of him. That's why our safety play has been horrible ever since he left. But he's on something. So he didn't start?
I don't think he did.
Yeah, because that's what happened to you on that stuff, man. People hold it against you. But no, I think the Colts are, to me, I'm looking at pretenders at this way because I don't think that defense is good enough, man. That defense is good enough.
I truly think with Vontae Davis and Toler on the outside, you know, that D-line kind of putting soft. But, Chuck Pagano is a guy who can create – who can scheme up a way to put pressure on you. So that's why I think they can overcome that shortcoming of their defense. Yeah.
Only time will tell, but maybe they'll get in the hot streak again. Anyways, go to the Eagles-Packers game. Packers destroyed the Eagles 20-53. Is Aaron Rodgers at this moment the best in the game right now?
You hard pressed to find anyone playing better than him. I'm not saying from the standpoint of statistics. I mean, just having total control of that offense, knowing, okay, if they're in this coverage, where to go to the ball. If they're in that coverage, I'm going to go here with the ball and be able to fit the ball into such a tight window in man-to-man coverage.
Like, I want to say yes, but that Seattle game still lingers in my head, like how you were so scared against Richard Sherman. Like, that really annoys me. Like, that Seattle game is, like, entrenched in me. It was like, for you to be the baddest man on the planet, you know what I mean? And to, like, go away. You have Jordy Nelson. Like, to me, Jordy Nelson's a dog. He's a dog. You know what I mean?
And if Jordy Nelson might be the best receiver he's had at his time in Green Bay.
Seriously. And I like Greg Jennings. I thought Greg Jennings was a real solid wide receiver. But to be honest with you, like, Jordy Nelson is a dog. For you not to go at him against Richard Sherman, it's like, dude, you ain't had no faith in your guy? And you're supposed to be like the best in the world. Again, this streak he's on is amazing. But I also acknowledge that he's done it at home, where he's more comfortable at. On the road, it's a little different beast. Now, I still can't see Aaron Rodgers beating, like, say, the 49ers in San Fran. Like, I can't mm-hmm. see him. If they had the whole, say Detroit gets the overall seed, San Fran finishes with a better record than him. I can't see him beating San Fran. I can't see him beating Seattle. You know, so it's like, do I really look at him as that guy to get him through it? No. But if his game is in Green Bay, oh, yeah. I could see him definitely getting a W, beating any of these teams and getting to the Super Bowl because he is that talented. He is hot. He is a great quarterback. All right. He's a great quarterback. But I don't know. I think at home, he's putting up godly numbers. On the road, it's a little different. A little different. Only if unless he's playing Chicago. He can beat Chicago any which way. Chicago just sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark, trust me, your days are numbered.
Yeah. But that defense is horrible. That defense is atrocious.
And that's the only thing I think that probably gives that GM caution about getting rid of Mark Trestman. For so long, the offense sucked. You can make a change. You could tell him you got to get rid of your defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And see if that improves thing, and then bring in some talent on that side of the ball. But it'll be interesting to see how that particular situation plays out.
I know I spoke on a little bit. Do you think the Packers are good enough to go to the Super Bowl? I wouldn't say win, but to go.
In this NFC, yeah. I think they could. Yeah. All it takes is a quarterback to get hot. We've seen how Eli's gotten hot and won a Super Bowl. We saw how Flacco's gotten hot mm-hmm. and won a Super Bowl. So. No, but they also had a defense that stepped up and played
this
better than they had been for the rest of that year.
We're talking about
when the Giants and the Ravens won.
The problem with the Packers, they can't stop the run. But they do have defensive playmakers and Peppers and Matthews. You know, I think Matthews is a little overrated, but that's my opinion. With the loss, let's go to the Eagles. With the loss, should Eagle fans be concerned about Sanchez as their starting quarterback?
I don't know why the hell they wouldn't be
They've been hyped, though. You know, folks been hyped about Sanchez before.
Nah, man.
And that Carolina game.
Sanchez is who he is. I don't know why the hell you wouldn't be concerned with him as your quarterback, but, you know, he's prone to making turnovers. It looks like when Chip Kelly gets him out of the pocket, he's more effective. But to stand back there and ask him to pick apart a defense, that isn't what Mark Sanchez does. Mark Sanchez is who we all thought he was.
Yeah, this is my thing about Mark Sanchez is just, yeah, he's Mark Sanchez, man. I can't, that butt fumble will always be entrenched in my head, man, turns to a guy who can't, who's just a clown as a quarterback.
I'm not going to call him a clown.
Not like being mean, but you know what I mean? He eating hot dogs in the sideline, butt fumbles. I mean, he's Mark Sanchez, man. And it's funny because I like Mark Sanchez coming out of USC. I really did. I thought he did things as a quarterback that I kind of was a fan of. Like, he manipulated safeties in college. Mm-hmm. Like, he would pump fake, manipulate safeties. His eye movement was good. He can slide his feet in the pocket. But he just he's an interception turnover kind of guy. And I can't see why Eagle fans would be so enamored with him. Even though Nick Foles, I mean, he had his days. He had turnovers, but Nick Foles wasn't as turnover prone as a Mark. Isn't turnover prone like Mark Sanchez. So I don't get the love. Anyway, let's go to the Lions Cardinals game. That game was a big game in terms of playoff implications. Cardinals won that game 6-14. Are both teams, in your opinion, legitimate Super Bowl contenders? I said both.
Both. No.
So just the Lions, right? Because you mentioned them earlier. Or none.
I think the Cardinals, I know a lot of people are enamored with Drew Stanton.
Are they really? Yeah, I like Drew Stanton, but I like him.
A lot of people are saying he can do for them what Hostetler did for the Giants when they won the Super Bowl.
Okay, that's a backup.
I just don't see it because, A, this team can't run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
B, Drew Stanton is going to make turnovers at inopportune times for you. But that defense, really good. Really good defense.
Yeah, a great defensive coordinator.
Great defensive, yeah. Todd Bowles is doing a hell of a job. The Lions, A, you can't run the ball. B, Matt Stafford, he has too much gunslinger in him. He's just going to throw it up there, even if Calvin Johnson is triple covered, and think Calvin Johnson is just going to make a play on the ball. And C, we've seen the Lions melt down before. They were 6-3, the year before last, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Rodgers and them boys came back and won the NFC North. So, for those reasons, I don't think either one of them are Super Bowl contender. Possibly they can do it, but no.
Well, for me, I think both teams are Super Bowl contenders because, just like you mentioned, the Packers have big flaws on defense. Difference between these two teams is that, I'll go with the Lions. They can score offensively, though I do agree with you about Matthew Stafford. And defensively, they're stout. The Detroit, one thing I'll take into the playoffs in any situation is a good defense over anything. So as long as these quarterbacks don't lose games for them, and I do agree with you, Matthew Stafford, he can lose a game for you. Mm-hmm. He can lose a game for you. But with Sue and Fairley and Ansu? Am I saying his name?
No, he's one of your folks.
I know, right? I suck in life.
Iggy Ansa.
Whatever. Close enough. That team is dangerous. Now, I'm going to go to the Cardinals. I'm going to be real with you. I'm a fan of Drew Stanton because I liked him in college at Michigan State. And I'm a Michigan fan. I don't really like Michigan State quarterbacks. But Drew Stanton was a guy I did like. And I thought he was way better than Kirk Cousins, you know, in college. And, you know, when Kirk Cousins took over, when Stanton went to the pros and Cousins was still in Michigan State, I was like, oh, you guys like this dude, Kirk Cousins? He sucks. You know, and when Kirk Cousins got drafted, I was thinking, well, you all are so high on Kirk Cousins, but you weren't high on Drew Stanton as a quarterback going into the draft. So I've always been a fan of Stanton and, you know, him playing with Larry Fitzgerald, even though he favors Michael Floyd more. But there is he has two wide receivers, a great quarterback, a great coach who knows quarterbacks, and
Bruce Arians.
Bruce Arians, excuse me. And Bruce Arians. So, like, this situation is good for him. So I think both of these teams are Super Bowl contenders because, one, I feel like their defense is solid enough, and they do have the weapons on the offensive side of the ball to create havoc for any team. So they can – their defenses are good enough to stop some of these powerhouse offenses, and their offense is good enough to score on some of these defenses that we may claim are good teams, because these defenses on some of these other teams, other than – other than Seattle and San Fran, if the games and teams like the Packers, whose defense is flawed, Seattle, who we'll see now, because I believe the Cardinals are playing Seattle this week, so we'll see how they match up against them, and San Fran, we see how they can beat San Fran. So this team is dangerous. This is a dangerous team. Any other notables that you during week one, week 11, that caught your eye?
Outside of Kansas City. Versus Seattle, that's probably the only team that really stuck out to me over the weekend.
Only thing that caught my eye is St. Louis upsetting the Broncos. I didn't think that was going to happen. That St. Louis defense is something else. It's a great defense. Jeff Fisher's doing a good job, even obviously losing your starting quarterback. That's a great job you're doing. That's a special job he's doing down there in St. Louis. Let's go to our picks. The overall record, I'm 23-20. Will's 18-17. Week 12 picks, Lions, Patriots.
Patriots.
I'm going to go with the Lions. I'm going to the Lions in this one. The D-line, we'll see how – I think the D-line will give Brady some trouble. Cardinals versus Seattle.
Seattle.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Cardinals. They'll put pressure on Russell Wilson. Dolphins versus Broncos.
Broncos.
I'm going to go with the Broncos myself. Ravens versus the Saints.
Ravens.
Yeah, I'm going to the Ravens. I think the Saints season is pretty much over. Let's go to fantasy football. Week 12, fantasy football pick, Will T.
This is all dependent on the starter being out, but I'm going with Alfred Blue.
Alfred Blue?
Mm-hmm.
Good pick. That's a good pick. I am going to go with my man, Ryan Mallett, who is now the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans. Had a good game in week 11, and I think he'll continue to play well in week 12. So anyway, it's about time for a commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking about Mega's NBA tribute to my man Mega, who passed away. Cool guy. So we'll be talking about the Wizards, Bradley Beal, coming back to the team this week. Probably Friday,
possibly,
right?
Possibly, yep.
All right, Friday. Bradley Beal, the best backcourt in the NBA. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself, but I didn't, because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
This one's for you and me. Living out our dreams, we're all right where we should be. With my arms out wide, I open my eyes, and now all I
want. All right, back from commercial break. We're going to talk about the Wizards, the Washington Wizards. Bradley Beal is back. What did John Wall and Bradley Beal say? They were the best backcourt in the NBA. That's a lie, because Stephen Curry and my man Klay Thompson, the best backcourt in the NBA, 25-27, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. At this point right now, Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson, you know, after playing the summer, you know, with Team USA, Klay Thompson's taking it to another level.
Yeah, he has.
After he's gotten that max contract. Stephen Curry, we all know what he can do. The guy has the ability to average a double-double, like 25-10, and also shoot 90% from the free throw line, 40% from three, and 50% from the field goal.
And can finish around the basket with his left, with both hands. And with some unique shots, too. It's not like a regular, like, it's like left-hand floaters, basically. Mm-hmm. The dude is a talented kid. All right, let's talk about Bradley Beal. I mentioned before the break. Bradley Beal is back. He's at practice, and he is eyeing a return Friday against the Cavs.
I would say be cautious just because of his previous injury history. Make sure you're at full strength. This team, you know, they've been able to hold the fort. They came out to a hot start so far, but, you know, make sure you're at full strength. If you are going to come back this Friday, I know the Cavs, that's a big game. you know, because Cleveland, their early season struggles, they're starting to turn around. And Washington's been pretty hot to start the season off, but, you know, just be cautious coming back, Bradley Beal, because this team needs you for the long haul.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he's going to perform. Obviously, he's going to be rusty, and you know, for it to be his first for his first game to be against the Cavs, LeBron, Kyrie,
Deion Waiters.
Kevin Love. Oh, yeah, this is a great matchup, though. Deion Waiters and Kyrie Irving versus John Wall and Bradley Beal. Wait, Waiters is on the bench now, so he's not really a starting backcourt.
Yeah, so he's technically not part of the best backcourt
anymore. But you know what I mean. You're going to have that matchup. It's cool, though. Wizards, Cavs, it's like, you know, back in the day, that was like the rivalry with Gilbert and LeBron.
Yeah, I believe. Isn't this game on ESPN? So it's a nationally televised game.
Uh-huh, should be.
So it's going to be interesting. I'm excited for it. I can't wait to see this game. But kind of temper your expectations for Bradley Beal coming right out of the gate. Don't think he's going to be the guy who was lighting it up at the end of the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And towards the end of the season, you know, give him some time to ease in, get in the basketball shape, get that shooting motion down with coming off of the broken left wrist. But this team is definitely going to be better with him in the lineup.
Totally agree.
His shooting is going to provide more spacing for John Wall to get into the lane.
It's going to be easier for Paul Pierce, too, as well. It's going to take a lot of pressure off of Paul Pierce.
Yep, and also rotating the ball to the backside if someone tries to double down on a Gortat or Nene. So it'll open up shot. He'll have open threes and also open up shots for the guys in the post.
Yeah, and again, and also, you know, you saw how John Wall and him played well together last year. So it's just going to add on to that as well. So these two, it's going to be a great blend for this team to be honest with you, it's helped out the bench as well. So you saw you've seen the emergence of Otto Porter. There are players now who are getting more extended time because of Bradley Beal being hurt. So
Garrett Temple
Garrett Temple's played well this season too. So this injury, in a way, and I've always stated this before with other injuries, it's been a blessing in disguise because it's shown that this team is a little more deeper, and it's given Randy Whitman faith in other players. So I think it's a good. This is, having Bradley Beal back is great for the lineup.
Yep, totally agree with you.
All right, let's
man.
Go to the New York Knicks, who are 3-8. This is Will's team.
The Wizards are my team also, but
this is Will's team.
Yeah,
all right.
The Knicks are definitely struggling. It's taking some time to adjust to that triangle offense. You know, a lot of people think it's just relatively simple. You know, you make a pass and you cut, but there are intricacies to it. Players have to know how to play off of each other in a triangle offense. So it's going to take some time. I don't necessarily think they have the right talent, per se. Guys with high enough basketball IQ, either they have an unwillingness to learn or they just aren't getting it. You have too many guys who prefer to play isolation basketball, like a J.R. Smith. Amari Stoudemire is playing a lot better than I thought he would ever play this season. You still need to surround Melo with some pieces and more shooters. But I fully believe that Phil and Derek Fisher are going to get it done and turn this team around.
Yeah, Derek Fisher. I think the triangle suits Melo. So Melo should be happy. It suits Melo. It suits Melo fine. And I'm a Melo fan, so I'm not being sarcastic. I'm a Melo fan. They're going to need some passing bigs, some real passing bigs. Amari Stoudemire, decent. I mean, he's, you know, it's helped him out a little bit to a certain extent, but they need some passing bigs, some guys who can pass out the triangle. And again, I agree with you, it's going to take some time. I love the young talent. I don't think talent's an issue. I like Early. I like Hardaway Jr. Shumpert's good. I like Larkin. They have guys on that team that I can say, wow, the Knicks are a talented ball club. But
I'm not going to go talented. They have some talent, but I'm not going to say a talented ball club.
It's a talented ball club.
They have some talent.
When you have a superstar in Carmelo Anthony, and I call him a superstar, I don't care what anybody says. You have a superstar like Carmelo Anthony, and I just name the players I named to go along with Carmelo. That's good enough, in my opinion.
No,
in the Eastern Conference, that's good enough. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want on this team? As a Knicks fan, what do you want? Seriously,
I want a guy who can defend the rim.
Isn't a center. A I mean, you had him in Tyson Chandler. Let him go.
Yeah, you did. But, you know, he may not have been good for team chemistry. Mm-hmm. We need more shooters at the point guard position and at the two position.
Okay. But you know, but you do know, like, well, you know, the triangle doesn't really have a real point guard. You don't need a point guard for the triangle.
But, I mean, the guy who's at the point guard position, I need a shooter. I need a guy who can space the floor out.
I think I can fix that for you.
What?
Why just start Tim Hardaway Jr. playing at the one? That's a normal triangle. Guy has handle. He can bring the ball up the floor. You can have a big a tall backcourt. Hardaway Jr., Shumpert. Why not? Who's going to Melo at the three? At the four is who's the four? Remind me, who's the four? Oh, Amari plays four. Who's the five?
Dalembert.
Okay,
Dalembert or
is it Dalembert starts at five?
Nah, it's
just cursed.
My bad. I forgot who's starting in the five.
Yeah, I forgot myself. But yeah, I mean, you play that lineup. That's a traditional triangle offense. Now, are they smart? Well, not smart enough. They
haven't built
the experience
to play off each other.
Yeah, exactly.
In the triangle.
Yeah. So once they do that, they'll be fine. I like again Derek Fisher. I don't know if he's the right guy for the team. I think for me, I'm more hesitant as him as a coach. I'm not a fan of Phil Jackson understudies to be, you know, head coaches. You know, if you look at some of the guys who try to be who are head coaches in the NBA who worked under Phil Jackson, they're not the best head coaches.
Well, I think that had to do with more because Phil was so hands-on. That they may not have learned all the intricacies of the triangle, but Derek Fisher played in it, so he knows all the intricacies of the triangle, and he has strong leadership skills. So that you take those two things together, that's why I think Derek Fisher is going to turn this thing around. It's going to take him a while. He's going to have to get some better talent, but I have faith that Derek Fisher is going to turn it around.
Are you having faith because you're a fan? Or are you having real faith because...
No, I have faith in Derek Fisher as a man and as a coach and as a leader of this team.
Why do people like Derek Fisher so much? I think he's a decent individual. I mean, but in terms of a actual, like, coach, I don't see it. I don't see Derek Fisher. That's just me. I don't see it in Derek Fisher.
Well, like I said, he knows the X's and O's and the ins and outs of the triangle, and I think some of the previous coaches didn't necessarily know all of that per se. Have him playing in it for so long and being and running it at the one put at from the point guard position and him being so effective at it, I think he knows a lot more than previous coaches that under Phil Jackson's tenure.
All right, man. It's about that time anyways. We about to go hard in the paint, man. You know, Walker about to get in.
Flocka.
I'm gonna. You want to go first? Or we go first?
Nah, you go first, man.
All right. You know, I forgot who I chose. You know, for week the first time we did the Harden and Payne segment in a while. But I'm gonna go with my man Bradley Beal. Coming back. I have faith in Bradley Beal. I believe he'll come back this week. I think on Friday night he'll come back. It's gonna be a big game. I can see Bradley Beal dropping about 15 points. And then continue, because John Wall will do most of the work. He's going to spot up and shoot, and he's a shooter. One thing he's going to do is shoot the ball, and he'll be fine.
Okay, I'm going to go with Tobias Harris. The guy's been having a pretty strong season.
He plays for
Orlando.
Thought so. Okay,
I'm going to go for Tobias Harris. He's been having a pretty strong season for Orlando. He's starting to take his. He's looking like he's starting to take his game kind of to that next level. And plus, he's a unrestricted. He's a restricted free agent this year, so he's playing for a contract. We know how that plays out in the NBA.
Yeah, we definitely do. We had a good little stint in Milwaukee not too long ago, a couple years ago. Played really good in Milwaukee a couple years ago. Yeah, that's not a bad pick. All right, well, let's go to – well, we missed out on a little bit in the beginning. We were supposed to talk about it during the pregame, but we want to talk about Pacquiao. Pacquiao's had a big fight.
On pay-per-view, HBO pay-per-view Saturday, right? This Saturday against Chris Algieri and Macau China. For the title at 140 pounds, Pacquiao. A lot of people think this is going to be a fight that Pacquiao totally blows out Chris Algieri, but I think this could be a a potentially a dangerous fight for Manny Pacquiao for these reasons. If Chris Algieri, he has a distinct height and length advantage. If Chris Algieri fights behind his jab, which he's shown he did against Ruslan Provodnikov during his comeback against Provodnikov earlier this year, and he also is able to use his head feints and switch up his use his head feints and use his lateral movements to allow to make Manny Pacquiao use his legs, he could potentially make this a closer fight than a lot of people think this could be. But also, on the flip side, if Manny Pacquiao puts his foot on the gas like the old Manny Pacquiao did, and he really concentrates for this fight, he has the opportunity to make a statement that kind of to make a statement to the world that A, I'm back, and B, Floyd Mayweather Jr., stop ducking me. There's nowhere to go from here.
Yeah, he's been aggressive of late about talking about
Mayweather. Yeah, he's been more verbal than he has in the past. You know, during the past, he would always make the statement, well, you know, I'm just a fighter, and Bob Arum and Top Rank are my promoters, so whatever they think is best for me, I'm going to go with that. But he's been a little bit more forthright verbally, saying that I want the Floyd Mayweather fight next. I want this fight. Floyd Mayweather is the person who's holding this fight up. And realistically, I could potentially see it happening. Definitely it won't be next fight. I've always stated, if this fight happens, it's going to be fight number 50 for Floyd Mayweather. Because that'll be, Floyd Mayweather will be out of his Showtime contract. And it'll be by far the biggest payday in boxing history. The only way this fight gets made is if the executives at Showtime force him. And I'm pretty sure with Al Heyman as his manager, Floyd Mayweather, Showtime Network doesn't have, they have some say, but they don't have a lot of say over who his opponent is, and he can pick whoever he wants.
All right, so it won't be, because, you know, we do remember like a, you know, a joint when Tyson fought Lennox Lewis.
Yeah, yeah, we do. And that was one of those situations where the networks forced that fight.
Yeah.
They've really forced the networks and the sanctioning bodies really forced that fight. I don't think you have a situation with Floyd. I don't know his contract.
Okay.
I don't know the language in his contract. But I'm pretty sure with Al Heyman as his manager, that contract is pretty ironclad that Showtime doesn't have a lot of say over who his opponent is. And I just don't see this fight happen. Now, if it does, I'll be shocked and I'll be happy.
Yeah.
But I just don't see it happening in May. I see if Amir Khan wins, he's going to fight Amir Khan next.
But he's going to get, he wants the big fight because he's probably going into competition with Canelo and Cotto, right?
Let's be clear about something. Big fight or not, he's guaranteed minimum $32 million purse.
Yeah, you got
his
you.
Purse is a guaranteed $32 million. So we're not talking about the upside from ticket sales. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about upside from pay-per-view sales, mm-hmm. foreign and domestically. Minimum $32 million next fight. So when you say big fight for him.
Every fight's a big fight.
Because he gets a minimum of $32 million.
Got you. Every fight's a big fight. But you don't think he's going to care. So you don't think he cares about that.
Do I think he cares about his legacy? Floyd Mayweather is, and he's earned the right because he's undefeated, right?
Yeah, of course.
His legacy is more tied to not who he fights, but that O that's on his record.
Yeah, I got you.
And no one can make the statement that he hasn't fought great fighters. Mm-hmm. He's fought Hall of Fame fighters.
Yeah.
You know, some people say he's cherry-picked and hand-picked his opponents. What great fighter hasn't? The difference is maybe other great fighters like Bernard Hopkins, like De La Hoya, have gone out of their way to fight the fights that the public has wanted. Mm-hmm. Whereas Floyd Mayweather is dictating to the public, I'm going to fight who I want. Y'all going to shut the hell up. And a million of y'all are going to buy this pay-per-view.
And they do.
And I'm going to get this $32 million, and I'm going to get upwards of possibly $80-something million.
Yeah, that's what amazes me, that people are frustrated with it, but they continue to buy or, you know, attend his fights. if you have a problem with it, don't watch and don't attend.
Yeah, his fights are like black holidays. You know, it's like NBA All-Star weekend.
It is, yeah.
South Beach on Memorial Day weekend.
You're right.
So, you know, people are going to attend. People are going to watch. He's captivated the boxing public and the casual fan. So whatever, you know, regardless of how we feel about him as a person and some of the things that have come out in the media about him, he's a world-class fighter. He's the best technical fighter of his generation. I'm a huge fan of his boxing skills and his boxing acumen in the ring. I would love to see him fight Manny Pacquiao and this not be a situation where they're both, you know, at the end of their careers and fighting.
Yeah.
But just the reality is, you take the dynamic with the hard feelings he has with Bob Arum, then you take the bravado that Manny Pacquiao is going to take X amount and I'm going to get this amount, it's going to make it hard for this fight to be made unless Manny Pacquiao makes major concessions. You come out and said, I want this fight. He's going to say, show me how much you want it. You just going to get this set amount. You're not going to get, he might get, you know, some percentage of the live gate in upwards of and pay-per-view sales, but he's going to drive a very hard bargain with him.
Mm-hmm. That's money Mayweather for you.
Yeah.
And for me, Mayweather's undefeated, so he's the draw. In my opinion, he's going to have to be the draw. He's the undefeated. He has a lot to lose in this situation. Manny's already, you know, Manny's had some losses that kind of that tarnished his legacy to a certain extent. Still, to me, has a decent legacy. But Mayweather, of course, if I'm Mayweather, I'm going to ask for more of the money because I have a lot to lose. People want to see me lose. Let's be real.
Yeah, that's why everyone tunes in to
they
see him
want
fight.
To see him
people,
lose.
Whether people, most people, you ask them how they felt about the fight, they say it was boring. You know what I mean? They don't have an appreciation of his speed and his intelligence in the ring. Because a lot of people don't know the ins and outs of boxing. You ask other people, they'd be like, man, I wanted to see him lose. I was hoping he lost. So he's no dummy. He knows that.
Mm-hmm. So that's the thing to me. Like, so folks want to see him lose. So I understand why he's, you know, going to say, okay, you know what? People, they enjoy you, Manny. They want to see you fight. You have a big following as well. But the reason why this fight is big, we get two megastars, but people want to see me lose. They think you have a great chance of beating me.
Yeah, I mean, and you think about it, it's really a no-win situation for him if he does fight Manny Pacquiao. Mm-hmm. Because people are going to say this, if he beats Manny Pacquiao and makes Manny Pacquiao look especially bad, then people will say, well, you fought Manny Pacquiao after the knockout, after he was knocked out by Juan Manuel Marquez. Why didn't you fight him 5 years ago when he was younger and going through everybody? If he wins, and if he loses, people are going to say, oh, you lost. That's why it took you so long to fight him. You knew you were going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lose-lose. The only thing that really wins for him is financially.
Yeah.
So
that's the thing. Hopefully we see a great fight. I would like Manny Pacquiao to floor his next opponent. So
Chris Algieri,
I want to see it.
You don't even know his name. Disrespectful.
I mean, I know I can't say his name. I just know he's taller.
Just a hard
no,
time
you're right though. I know he's taller than him. Jermell got cable no more, man. I don't be seeing this stuff. You know what I mean? But anyway, man, it was a great show. We got episode 199. This is episode 199. Episode 200 is gonna be in a couple weeks. It's gonna be a big show. We're gonna have Ray Jeezy back, Will T, myself. We're gonna do the dark.
Hold on.
Oh, maybe not. We may not have Will T.
No, because that's my birthday.
Is it? Tuesday's your birthday?
No, because we're not doing it next Tuesday, right?
We're not doing it next Tuesday.
Yeah, then the Tuesday after that would be... Yeah, that... Hold on.
That's your birthday?
The first... No, my birthday is that Wednesday, I think.
All right. Yeah. Because we won't do the show. We'll just have a celebration for Will T's birthday.
Hold on.
I mean, we're talking about Jasper shots. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
no,
the show is on a Tuesday. That's the second. So, yeah, we good.
We good. So, yeah, we're going to Will T, Ray Jeezy, myself. May even bring some extra old folks. This could be the big show, 200. We're going to try to do it big. Again, it's a blessing to do 199. Doing 200 is going to be an even greater blessing.
It just shows consistency, dedication, hard work.
Hard work.
Sacrifice.
Got to do the Mayweather. Hard work. Dedication. Mayweather, come on, you're supposed to yell it.
Hard work.
Dedication.
Hard work.
Dedication.
Hard work.
Dedication.
Hard work.
Dedication.
All right, man, we out here.
We out here, man. Thanks for y'all for listening in. We appreciate it. Continue to listen to us. We appreciate the love. I'm tired. Listen to us in a couple weeks. Episode 200. Anything else you want to say, Will T?
Nah, man. We out.
All right, we out. Big Ronnie, lead us out, please, homie.